Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And welcome to the Water Cooler, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I'm David Brody. It's Tuesday, April 13th, 2021. We begin with big news today. The federal government says it's time to hit the pause button on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine due to safety concerns. The FDA and CDC say they're going to stop using the vaccine at federal sites, and they're telling states to do the same as well. So in just the last 2 weeks, six people here in America, by the way, all women ranging in age from 18 to 48, developed major blood clots within about 2 weeks of vaccination. One of them died, another in critical condition. Roughly 7 million people in the U.S. have gotten the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And as you might imagine, the Biden administration is downplaying the news. This is what they say in a statement. This announcement will not have a significant impact on our vaccination plan. Johnson & Johnson vaccine makes up less than 5% of the recorded shots in arms in the United States to date. Based on actions taken by the president earlier this year, the United States has secured enough Pfizer and Moderna doses for 300 million Americans. And meanwhile, POTUS 45, Donald Trump, released a statement laying the blame here at the feet of Biden, saying this: the Biden administration did a terrible disservice to people throughout the world by allowing the FDA and CDC to call a pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. The results of this vaccine have been extraordinary, but now its reputation will be permanently challenged. The people who have already taken the vaccine will be up in arms, and perhaps all of this was done for politics, or perhaps it's the FDA's love of Pfizer. And you know what? On part of that, Donald Trump is correct. Look, it doesn't matter that only 5% of the vaccines came from Johnson & Johnson. News like this erodes trust in the vaccine. And let's be honest, it puts a little bit of a scare into everyone who has either taken any of the vaccines or is thinking about it. Remember, these vaccines are not FDA approved. They went through a very quick rush process. And unfortunately, all of this is not a shock to folks in the anti-vax crowd who were always concerned about a rushed vaccine from a federal government and a scientific community that they simply do not trust. We're going to have more on this big story later in the show. But first, to politics. The GOP is not only looking to take back control of the House and Senate in 2022, they want to make it redder. In essence, Donald Trump and MAGA Nation want to purge the rhinos, Republicans in name only. One of their targets, Senator Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, who voted to, let's see, impeach Donald Trump. Not to mention she voted against Brett Kavanaugh. She also supported Obamacare. The list goes on and on. So can she be beaten? Well, she has a Republican challenger who right now, at least, is leading her in the polls. Joining me now from Alaska is Kelly Chewbacca, the former Alaska Department of Administration Commissioner. Kelly, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me today, David.
Well, Kelly, the latest poll has you leading the field right now. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think Alaskans want their voice represented in the Senate. We know that that seat doesn't belong to someone whose last name is Murkowski. Lisa and her dad have had that seat for 40 years, and we know that she's been voting with the DC insiders, hurting our way of life. We would like to take our seat back. We want to see our Alaskan voices represented in the Senate. I want to go to Alaska and fight for Alaskans.
You think she's really in trouble then up in Alaska for sure?
Absolutely. Recently, our Alaska Republican Party even voted to censure Lisa Murkowski and say that in our seat or in our state, she's not allowed to be called a Republican. You know, Alaskans want Alaska values represented in D.C., not a D.C. insider voice. I was born and raised here in Alaska. My dad is a union electrician, and he served in Vietnam. We love our military up here in Alaska. We have a lot of service members. My mom was one of the Alaskans who helped to start up Prudhoe Bay. It's one of our largest oil fields down from which the pipeline comes. And life wasn't easy for them. They were even homeless for a while. We have one of those Alaska stories that Alaskans relate to. I was the first in my family to get to pursue a college degree. And then from there, I've worked to fight for Americans and exposing waste and fraud in government and returning hundreds of millions of dollars for taxpayers and holding insiders accountable. But Lisa Murkowski, she's been our senator for almost 20 years now, and she's become one of the DC insiders. She had her seat handed to her by her dad. These are all things that Alaskans know. We know that she's a senator's daughter. She doesn't fight for Alaska. She doesn't have those Alaskan values of talking straight and meaning what you say. You know, you mentioned Obamacare. The last time she campaigned that she would get rid of Obamacare, and then she went and voted for it. She votes to allow illegal immigrants to come in our country and stay here. Those are things that Alaskans know. Those aren't our Alaska values. We want Alaska values in D.C.
Where are you on the Trump meter, if you will? Because you've got a lot of former Trump campaign officials working on the campaign. Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump have gotten into a bit of a skirmish. I mean, Donald Trump, not a big fan of Mitch McConnell. If Mitch McConnell's on one side and Donald Trump's on another, where are you in there?
I would be honored to have President Trump's endorsement. You know, Alaska voted for him twice, and I got to serve in his administration for 2 years. I spoke at his first presidential fundraiser here in the state of Alaska. And Alaskans really love Donald Trump, and for good reason. As a president, he's been great for our state. He opened up ANWR for oil and gas development that pushed back six decades of restrictions. In contrast, on the first day of the Biden administration, and Lisa Murkowski supports the Biden administration, they shut down our oil and gas drilling in ANWR, and that cost us oil and gas jobs in Alaska. You know, President Trump, he passed the largest tax cut in American history. When government grows, freedom shrinks. And when government shrinks, freedom grows. In Alaska, we love our freedom. Those are the kind of things that Alaskans love about President Trump. We'd be honored to have him come up here. We'd be honored to have his endorsement.
You know, Donald Trump always talks about the election being, the 2020 election being rigged and stolen. I know you're looking forward to 2022. Don't want to necessarily look back, but it does seem like it's a question that all Republicans are getting asked now. Kind of where are you on some of the concerns that Trump had regarding the 2020 election? He called it rigged and stolen. What do you say?
You know, back when we had the Bush and Gore election, we had the Democrats tell us that Broward County alone needed over a month of examination into that election. And then when President Trump ran in his last election, we spent years looking into whether Russia interfered with that election. I think the Democrats have given us a standard of how we look into evidence of allegations of election integrity issues. And we didn't use the Democrat standard into the allegations in the 2020 election. I think that the allegations that came up in the 2020 election just simply haven't been looked into. And that's why you see so many questions coming from millions of Americans about some of the election integrity issues in 2020. That's why we have questions. We just want the Democrats to use the same standards that they used in all the other elections.
Right. So you're saying the questions are legitimate. I mean, the fact the question should be asked for sure.
Right. The questions have been asked just like they've been asked before, and we want the same standards applied in looking at the allegations that have been raised.
For sure. You have a wonderful family there in Alaska. You are a strong Christian woman. As you might imagine, the liberal blogs have come after you, and I'm sure the mainstream media, as you get more attention, they'll come after you too for your faith, especially, you know, I know it's more of a Pentecostal kind of what we call it. You know, I work at CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network, Fruits of the Spirit, which some people don't quite understand. What's your message to the critics who want to bash you, in essence, for your faith?
You know, my faith is a really important part of my personal identity. And in America right now, how you identify yourself personally is something that we now honor as an important part of our dignity. How we communicate with God, a lot of people in America have faith and they have a prayer time and how they communicate with God. And it's not something that everybody understands, and we don't expect it to. I think that's why it has a special place in the Constitution, as religious expression is protected. We're not expected to understand how people communicate with God or pray. But it seems to me that there's only one religion anymore that it's socially acceptable to mock or ridicule or denigrate, and then it gets on the social media bandwagon and everybody kind of tears it up, and that's Christianity, especially conservative Christians. Because if you replace the word Christian with any other religion, I mean, think about it for a minute. Mm-hmm. We would all say that's not okay to discriminate against other religions. I don't think it's okay. I think America doesn't think it's okay. I know Alaskans don't think it's okay to discriminate against people because of their faith. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it's okay, at least for some people, to discriminate against Christians. I just got to tell you, I don't think it is. And I think most Alaskans don't think discrimination against faith is okay, because we're typically people of faith. We don't share the same faith, but we really honor the dignity of people's faith backgrounds up here.
Yeah, and Kelly, we have 30 seconds or so, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. 30 seconds, if you say this is a Judeo-Christian nation, the liberal blogs and others, the mainstream media, they'll come after you, me, everybody doing all of that, saying all of that. What's your take on a Judeo-Christian nation? Because that's where it seems like the principles of this country clearly were founded.
You know, I'll just say what John Adams said. He said, you know, our Constitution is built on those principles. And if you remove those principles, then the whole thing kind of falls apart. And it's not saying that that imposes religion on everyone. It just says that our entire Western civilization rule of law is based on canon law. And we are a rule of law country.
Yeah. Kelly Chewbacca, really appreciate your time here, a candidate for Senate in Alaska. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. You can learn more at kelly4ak.com. I appreciate your time, David.
All right, sounds good. And getting that plug in at the end, you got to like that. Even more props to Kelly for doing that. That is impressive, by the way. I've been to Prudhoe Bay, by the way. Wow, it is far north and beautiful.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. You know, we talk a lot about politics and, of course, Trump and Biden and all of that, but you know, there's something pretty big going on in the Middle East. There always is something going on in the Middle East, for sure. As a matter of fact, we're getting news today that Iran says they're going to enrich uranium up to 60% now. It used to be 20%. They're saying now they're going to go to 60% because of an attack on one of their facilities there, enrichment facilities. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more with Jason Greenblatt, former White House envoy to the Middle East. Jason, always great to have you back on the show, sir.
Great to be with you. Thank you, David.
Well, Jason, what's the iceberg right ahead here for the Biden administration? Because you guys worked very, very hard to obviously get out of that deal regarding the Trump administration, and now they want to do a 2.0. Where do you think things stand, and what's the danger ahead here, Jason?
I would argue it's not even a 2.0. I think they're moving back to a 1.0, meaning this deal was terrible to begin with. We were hiding our heads in the sand. They were just kicking the can down the road, as if this was going to solve the nuclear threat to the region and to the United States of America, as if this was going to solve the fomenting of terrorism around the world by the Iranian regime. And we went from, let's make the deal longer and stronger, which is what President Biden was saying during the campaign and the beginning of the administration, to, oh, please, let us get back into this deal. We'll get back into compliance. And it's so embarrassing. We're not even represented at the talks other than through Europeans who don't have America's interest at heart. They have their own economic interest at heart. How embarrassing is it that we can't even be at these talks, much less our allies and friends in the Middle East who are in the line of fire? Israel, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the UAE, Bahrain, and others.
So does this feel like a begging and pleading situation, like the United States desperately wants to get back in this deal?
Absolutely. It is misguided. It is dangerous. You see, there was an attack, and as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, the 60% increase, it's unprecedented, and it shows the type of regime we are dealing with, and it shows how weak and ineffective we are at dealing with this kind of regime.
You know, Jason, there has been, in essence, a 100%, or call it a 180, on virtually everything that the Trump administration did, especially as it pertains to the Middle East. Palestinian aid now, I mean, it wasn't all Palestinian aid that was not going over there, but there was quite a bit of economic aid not given to the Palestinians. And now look at these headlines: reversing Trump, Biden restores aid to Palestinians. There's a lot to unpack there. There's certain things there. But talk to me a little bit about what the implications of restoring aid to the Palestinians means exactly.
Sure, another big mistake. Let's talk about UNRWA. So they're restoring aid to UNRWA. UNRWA is a corrupt UN organization. It does nothing other than keep Palestinians as political pawns, perpetuating their lives of misery in these so-called refugee camps. Most of these people who live in these camps should not be classified as refugees. We have to recognize that if an Israeli-Palestinian solution to the conflict is not imminent, and I don't believe it is imminent, we really should focus on how to make these Palestinian lives better. They deserve better. And pouring money into UNRWA, repouring U.S. taxpayer money into UNRWA, is not the solution. It is an inept organization with an ever-expanding group of beneficiaries. Aid to the Palestinians themselves does not lead to peace. It might comply with Taylor Force Act. We'll see what happens when they share the specific details with us. But even if it complies with the Taylor Force Act, we have to recognize that the Palestinians are paying Palestinian terrorists to harm and murder Israelis, and we should not be giving money until they clearly repudiate this heinous policy of pay to slay.
Well, not to mention also, Jason, there's propaganda involved in this too, right? I mean, some of this money is going, in essence, to fund some of the propaganda that Palestinian kids in schools are hearing about Israeli children.
That's exactly right. It teaches hate, it teaches anti-Semitism, it teaches anti-peace messages, and we are not doing anybody a favor, least of all the U.S. taxpayer, but even Palestinians at all, by just continuing to fund these bad programs. We should learn from the lessons of the past.
Yeah. So talk to me about Saudi Arabia's role in all of this with Iran, Saudi Arabia, Israel. There's so much going on here. I don't know if it's three-dimensional chess. Maybe it's 12-dimensional chess. What's your sense exactly as to how this could potentially play out with Saudi Arabia being a key player in the region, obviously?
Well, I'm very bullish on the region, including and especially perhaps Saudi Arabia. I think the Crown Prince's Vision 2030 and so many other things that he's doing there are going to make this region stronger, better, safer. That bodes well for Israel. That bodes well for the other countries in the region. I think that we need to be patient with Saudi Arabia. They did not yet join the Abraham Accords. I don't know when they will join it, but I think they have taken very positive movements, both in their society in terms of moving forward, in their economy, and in the region generally. The healing of the rift between Saudi, the UAE, and Qatar and others in the GCC is a very positive step. And I look forward to many good things coming out of Saudi Arabia, as long as we allow them the space to do it within their own time.
Jason, what is the world? Is this a worldview issue between what the Trump administration was trying to do in the Middle East, kind of writ large the Middle East, I should say, and what the Biden administration is doing or undoing, I should say? In other words, what's motivating them exactly? I'm trying to understand why they would, in essence, undo so much of the progress that was made.
I think it is, as you describe it, a worldview issue. I think that they are reluctant to call the truth. They're reluctant to speak hard truths. They're reluctant to recognize the problems and try to fix the problems. To me, they're throwing a bunch of Band-Aids at these problems, hoping it'll get them through their administration. But more importantly, they're also abandoning, to some degree, some of our allies, especially Saudi Arabia. You know, they removed the designation of terrorists from the Houthi terrorists in Yemen. They pay lip service and say that Saudi can defend itself, but they're also removing some benefits from Saudi in terms of defense. So they say a lot of things that sound right. They're not backing up their words with actions, and they're doing negative things to the region.
The Middle East, as we wrap up here, the Middle East has always been a pretty dangerous place, obviously. Do you think it's more dangerous with the Biden administration in charge?
I don't want to criticize so far in advance. I'm certainly concerned it's heading in that direction. But I think that President Trump's view of the Middle East not only was correct, but it bore fruit. The Abraham Accords, it was calm throughout the time that he was there. And I think that they should take a lesson out of his playbook and follow his playbook rather than going back into the methods of the past.
Jason Greenblatt, always great to have you, a former White House envoy to the Middle East. Thanks, Jason, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Jason Greenblatt, globetrotting around the world, by the way. I think he was in Dubai. What was it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago? I can't keep up with him. He's always globetrotting. Here, I just sit at the anchor desk and just read off prompter. That's what I do. All right. When we come back, the vaccine situation, we talked about it at the top of the show. Johnson & Johnson saying, hey, we're going to hit the pause button. FDA, CDC, all on board to say, we've got a problem here. We got to figure it out. So we're going to talk to Todd Furness in a moment about rethinking all of this and what the Biden administration is not telling you about the vaccine. Back in a moment.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Welcome back to the water cooler, everybody. Imagine if you're one of those anti-vaxxers, as the media calls them today, and you're thinking, hey, I told you so, because Johnson & Johnson has hit the pause button on their vaccine, FDA, CDC saying we're going to hold up. We're going to rethink this. We're going to kind of figure out exactly what's going on regarding six blood clots in 2 weeks. One person died from the blood clot, another one in critical condition. Apparently the FDA and CDC believe that this will be taken care of in a matter of days and then they'll start it again. We'll see about that. I'm not convinced of that either. Let's bring in Todd Furness, author of the book, The 60% Solution, Rethinking Healthcare, who has thought a lot about these issues as it relates not just to healthcare, but about the vaccine rollout and what's happening today. Todd, good to see you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Todd, I'll get to the broader healthcare issue in a moment, but let's start with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I got to tell you, when this announcement came out this morning, I said, wow, I mean, that's huge news. And it's going to even bring more skepticism to what many people, a lot of people don't even want to take the vaccine to begin with.
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. And what we saw is over in Europe, the AstraZeneca vaccine had the pause button hit on it as well. It's not surprising to see that, you know, other vaccines are subject to the same concern. And we've done a great job of rolling something out and making it available. The big issue we have to be worried about now is making it mandatory. And that's where I get anxious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to get into the mandatory aspect of this in a moment. But what is some of your concern about what happened, the news today about this vaccine? Because, I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean, six cases with these blood clots in what 7 million doses that are out there. So obviously it's not this huge problem. But do you think Trump came out today and said this was really a bad move by the Biden administration to basically put a pause on this because it's going to just lead to more skepticism. What should people understand about this Johnson & Johnson vaccine?
Well, I think that the real issue we got to be worried about is women, and particularly women of childbearing years. And what you see is this: all six were women. And so what I get nervous about is, what do we do about women who are in childbearing years or who are pregnant and with child, and what are the long-term implications? And the honest answer is, we just don't know. And we have to be cautious about that and thoughtful about it, because there hasn't been enough time to do a longitudinal study on either the vaccine or the effects of COVID-19. So we have to, I get nervous about mandating vaccinations or having these health passports, if you will, or vaccination passports that say, you can only get on the plane if you've got a card that says you've been vaccinated. Well, there may be a whole bunch of reasons why that's not a good idea. And the issue we've got here is we've got some early signs. It's too soon to rush to judgment. There may be other coexisting conditions that give rise to the problems that they experienced by these six women, but we just don't know. And so for example, one of the things I point out with COVID generally is 78% of all people who were hospitalized, intubated, who died, had obesity. They were obese. Mm-hmm. So the issue is really not so much COVID as much as the complication of COVID with the complications that arise out of obesity.
Okay.
You know, heart problems, cholesterol problems, other organ problems, et cetera.
See, Todd, you're hitting on a great point, because I'm going to be straight up with you. Unless you read the fine print, and I don't even know if it's in the fine print. I haven't gone to the CDC fine print, but I haven't heard anything top line from the Biden administration about the pregnancy issue and about issues about comorbidities like obesity. Like, all it is from the Biden administration is get the vaccine and that's it. There's like it's like full stop. And there's none of this talk.
Well, now you figured out why I'm so unwelcomed at cocktail parties. It's because I'm that wonky guy who sits and reads all that stuff and then has the temerity to go in and talk about it and say, hey, here are some things you ought to think about before you rush to judgment or rush to take the vaccine. Again, I'm not against taking vaccines. I think they're important to take. I think we as a nation ought to really look at taking vaccines as, you know, responsibly. So nothing could be further from the truth in terms of me being against the vaccine. I just think it ought to be an individual decision based on the education and the information available to that individual, and that so that individual can make good decisions based on their own healthcare needs.
Yeah, I have to tell you something we reported on earlier this week. Actually, I think it was last week. I get all my days confused, but the Miami Heat basketball team literally opened up their arena, and in two of their sections, they only had two sections open. And guess what? They were for vaccinated people. That's it. This is the America we're going to start to live in. Listen, I'm not buying that, Todd, at all.
Well, consider the stigmatization associated with that. And what are you really trying to do? This is another form of a term we've popularized here recently called virtue signaling. I'm better than you because I've been vaccinated, or I'm not as good as you because I haven't been vaccinated. I think that just puts a whole nother layer of complications around an already complicated issue. Let's just go do the right thing. Let's go figure out what our healthcare needs are on an individual basis. Let's get vaccinated where we can. And where it's the right thing to do. And if it's not the right thing to do or it's an unreasonable risk to take, then let's not get vaccinated. Again, I'm fortunate to have a pregnant daughter. I wouldn't advise her to go get vaccinated. I think that would be the wrong thing to do for her and for her unborn child.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wanted to finally ask you on those vaccine passports, because I like to call them, I don't want to say I like to call them, but I'm going to call them vaccine papers. Because if you say, can you show me your papers, rather than can you show me passports, that takes on a whole different connotation. But in a way, that's exactly what we're talking about here. And we have enough division in this country to now have, as I like to call them, the VPs and the UVPs, the vaccinated people and the unvaccinated people. I mean, this is not the America that we need to be in right now.
And I got to tell you, honestly, I mean, you're the first person that ever said that and used those words, but that made me nervous. I mean, I actually had a physical sensation of being anxious when you said, can you show me your vaccination papers? Mm-hmm. That makes me nervous. And it harkens back to the 40s, at a time when we as a nation really, we don't want to see again, ever.
For sure. Todd Furness, really appreciate you. I want to have you back on to talk about that book of yours. He is the author of the book. And there it is again. Ka-ching, the 60% solution, rethinking healthcare. I'm hoping ka-ching means people are going to go out and buy the book. Todd, good luck to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. You know what? I'll tell you what. This show comes complete with, wait for it, sound effects. Thank you very much. Tomorrow on the show, are we done with the show already? Oh, my gosh. In the next segment, Penny Nance coming up. She's the CEO and president of Concerned Women for America. So her son goes to Virginia Tech. And guess what? So they're a little politically correct down there. We got some pronouns. We got some transgender stuff going on. We're going to break all of that down when we come back on the water cooler. We are coming back. It's not the end of the show.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to the water cooler, everybody. Well, here's some breaking news for you. Liberal college campuses. Yeah, we knew it. Virginia Tech, look at this. This is in the news. Virginia Tech sued for allegedly chilling student speech with policies. Basically, Virginia Tech is under the microscope, if you will, of a lawsuit that takes aim at their policies on harassment, discrimination, bias-related incidents. It's also its computer policy. Basically, in essence, Virginia Tech, the lawsuit alleges, have intimidated students into silence, refraining altogether from expressing comments or viewpoints that might be perceived as controversial or offensive. So that's kind of the table setter, if you will. Penny Nance is with us, CEO and President of Concerned Women for America, who has more on this and a bit of a personal experience, if you will. Penny, always great to have you back on the show.
Great to be here, always with you, David. Thanks for having me.
Well, Penny, talk to us a little bit about this. This is a bit personal for you from a Virginia Tech standpoint. When this story came out, you said, wait a minute, I know something about this. Why don't you talk to us about it?
Well, right. The story is not new, but the lawsuit is. And I don't know that it's actually the first lawsuit, but this one came to my attention by a great piece in Fox News written by Sam Dorman, who's a great reporter. A group called Speech First has actually sued Virginia Tech because of their treatment of speech, free speech for students. And I'm not sure if the suit encompasses employees, but it should. I would take you back, David, to a piece that I wrote in reaction to the orientation that I attended when my son, my youngest child, 2 years ago, went to Virginia Tech. And the orientation was shocking. And I wasn't the only person very upset about it. Parents all around me were just so surprised that the math and science school of Virginia Tech would be so far to the left, the propaganda of the left. Every single student or staff member that got up and spoke to us first gave us their preferred pronoun. We started out the program. Of course, I didn't think, you know, hey, I went to Liberty University, but I didn't think that they were going to start with prayer or the Pledge of Allegiance. Heaven forbid we actually recognize our country, our exceptional nation. But no, instead we had to take a moment of silence for the Indian tribes on whose ground we sat. Never mind that Virginia Tech, the tradition of Virginia Tech, is one of the Corps of Cadets in the military. That was not at all engaged in. So there was so much propaganda going on and training around that. I wrote this piece in The Federalist. And as a result of that piece, we Concerned Women for America received so much information from not just at Virginia Tech, but of course around the country. But specifically, we received information from employees whose civil rights were clearly violated by what they were forced to do, the training they were forced to do that imposed on them they had to give the right answer before they could get through the training, which was a required training. So they had to assent to the position of the school, which was very leftist, all the microaggression training, mm-hmm. All the diversity training, everything you would expect was over the top. In fact, I'm going to put that out publicly. We now have it. We've had it for a while now. I think now is the right time I'm going to release it, and I hope that it's helpful in the lawsuit going forward. I have said for the first time, David, that this is what happens when you hire a leftist from San Francisco to run a Virginia school. Mm-hmm. Timothy Sands should be fired. And the fact that he was hired was a direct result of that we had a leftist governor, Terry McAuliffe, who set up the board in that way. It's time for conservatives to take back over the state of Virginia and to right the ship in our schools, our public schools, and also our universities. We have gone so far to the left, parents don't even recognize their school systems.
Penny, what's the best way to do that specifically? I mean, you know, there's signing petitions, there's getting involved at the grassroots mm-hmm. level, and lawsuits in this case. So maybe it's a whole kit and caboodle. Yeah, tell me a little bit about Concerned Women for America and what you guys are trying to do on that front, really to kind of take America back to this common sense America that we once knew.
Well, and it's so many different facets, David. It's sort of the ideologically, the training of our kids in a way in this leftist ideology, but even our schools are closed. Virginia Tech is not having in-person classes still, you know, and these students who really there's very little risk. And if you are at risk, there needs to be certain special accommodations made for those students or teachers. But students are fed up. They want to go back to school. So I think there's a couple of different things. Number one, in whatever state you're in, but particularly in Virginia, we have an off-year election for governor. That really has implications all around the state for education. So you've got to make sure you vote for the candidate that represents your belief system. You've got to make sure that we don't reelect leftists to be our governor in Virginia. We need to make sure that we are getting the information. I have screenshots that were sent to me, again, in this campus project, and we're going to put it back out there. I'm going to get it back up on our website immediately so your viewers can have the information. But respond to us. Let us know what they're seeing so we can get it out there. Social media is a great way to really allow transparency. I mean, I really think sunlight is the best way to cure, the illness that is impacting our culture. We've got to get it out there and let people know. So certainly voting and getting the information out, educating our kids, ourselves on what's happening, and then certainly joining with organizations like Concerned Women for America, who are involved in the culture, that are speaking truth to power and making sure that we try to clean up this mess.
Penny Nance, really appreciate your time and great insight, and good luck down there at Virginia Tech.
Thank you. A lot going on.
All right. Penny Nance, known her for a long time. And I tell you what, salt of the earth. I mean, she just tells it like it is. And you know what? She'll take some slings and arrows for it. But guess what? She doesn't care. You know why? Because she cares about restoring the Judeo-Christian fabric of America. And I said that word restoring on purpose, because the Judeo-Christian fabric of our country is slip-sliding away rapidly. I remember Robert Bork, who was nominated for the Supreme Court back in the 80s, wrote a book called Slouching Toward Gomorrah. Folks, welcome to Gomorrah. We're there. We talked about the other day about an adult husband. I think it was a husband or a wife who wants to marry their own child. Folks, welcome to Gomorrah. We're back in a moment with The Last Sip.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Time for I Did It Without Even Looking, The Last Sip. Did you notice? Didn't even look to sip. Like, where is my cup? Boom, there it is. Not that you care. Hey, so if you notice in our open and in many of our kind of bumps back into the show, you see Biden there, but then you see Trump hovering over Biden. That's because he hovers over everything, right? I mean, he's not on Twitter, but so what? He's got these elegant, I'm sure you would call them, elegant press releases. Hey, so I was on vacation a few weeks ago, went to Florida. You know, we watched Jeopardy, played some bingo, went to Denny's, in bed by 7:30. I'm getting old. But beyond that, I went to Mar-a-Lago. Now, I had an off-the-record meeting with someone down there. You may have heard of him. Oh, look at that. There he is, Donald J. Trump. There we are at Mar-a-Lago. Now, I got to tell you, it was an off-the-record meeting. I cannot divulge the contents of that meeting. It's top secret. Anyhow, there I am. There's my shoe. At Mar-a-Lago. Kind of looks like my living room, by the way. That is typically how my living room looked when I was growing up. And not really. And that's the beautiful view of Palm Beach through Mar-a-Lago. That's literally the living room. And look what's there, I noticed. I took a couple pictures, the New York Post and the Palm Beach Post. Of course, the New York Post is there for all the world to see. So as it relates to the meeting with Donald Trump, though it was off the record and I can't divulge the contents of that meeting, I can tell you this. You'll be happy to know that he's in great spirits. As a matter of fact, you know, I've interviewed him, goodness gracious, it's been about 25 times or so since 2011. So I've known him over 10 years. We're both from New York. And I can say this, he's in great spirits. You know, there are times where he'll laugh, but even when he laughs, it's more like a smile and a little bit of a chuckle. Down there during this meeting, he was literally belly laughing on a few topics that we were talking about, and that just shows how good the good spirits that he's in. So I thought you wanted you should know that, and it's something that stood out to me. We talked about some of the criticism that he's endured and what might be his future plans. So, you know, TBA on all of that. But I can tell you this, that this idea that Donald Trump is going away, the media would love for him in a way to go away, but in the same time, they actually want him to stick around, because that's right, as Trump said, he's good for business, and that is for sure. But he's not going away. As a matter of fact, I came out of that meeting thinking even more so that not only is he here to stay, but let me just say, 2024, yeah, I think we're going to have a storyline. That's all I'll say. We're back in a moment.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. FYI, I was singing that tune during the break. All right, Anna Perez joins us. Anna, you're back with us.
I'm back.
You're back. Is there like a door and you just kind of appear?
Yeah. That's how it works.
Oh, is that how it works? Good. Yeah. Thanks for revealing.
I just walk in whenever I feel like it.
Okay, so Anna has walk-in privileges. Yes. Here at the water cooler White House. All right, so what do you have going on? Because once again, illegal immigrants back in the news, if
back
you will,
in the news,
to a degree.
Yeah. So yesterday, Senator Cotton actually introduced a bill that would penalize states that are giving money to illegal aliens after the pandemic and everything. Like, for example, about a week ago, we were just talking about this in New York. They authorized that they would give over $15,000 to immigrants who lost jobs during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of questions arise after that, which is, you know, why are they employed anyways? The fact that they're illegally here.
There's that.
Yeah, there's that. And then, of course, why would we even be putting them before American citizens? Mm-hmm. So what this bill does, essentially, is it tells states, it penalizes states that are doing that, and they don't allow those states to benefit from the American Jobs Plan that Biden just passed. Mm-hmm. So they would not be allowed to get any grants from the federal government mm-hmm. to benefit their own state.
Interesting. So obviously not a chance in you-know-what that it's going to pass.
Right,
because,
exactly.
You know, Biden's the president. But it lays down a marker for mm-hmm. Republicans to say, are you going to get behind this bill? Do you support it or not? Because, you know, this is kind of a delineation mark between Republicans and Democrats, or even between Republicans and Republicans.
Exactly. And I think it's going to show, you know, this is, again, a very American first, you know, agenda thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that anybody who would be behind this would obviously be, you know, on the side of American citizens. So it kind of places, like you said, a marker on who is actually there for Americans and who's here supporting, you know, illegal aliens. Because mm-hmm. as we know, this is a huge problem, putting a lot of resources behind illegal aliens. And,
right.
you know, for a state like New York to give that much money to illegal aliens, it's, you know, it's definitely concerning for many American citizens who lost jobs during the pandemic. I mean, mm-hmm. why a lot of people are wondering, why isn't this money being given to them?
100%.
You know, why are we even considering the idea of giving money to people who aren't actually citizens?
No, 100%. So yeah, this feels like it's pitting the Jim Jordans versus the Mitch McConnells.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Anna, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thank you. All right, great. This Thursday night, by the way, 8:00, we have a special Just the News event. Hey, have I been invited? It's sponsored by the Heritage Action for America, and it's called Securing Our Elections: The Grassroots Battle. Easy, safe voting. It's hosted by John Solomon. Make sure you tune in to this exciting event. It's on Thursday, April 15th. That's tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? No, 2 days from now. 8:00 Eastern, airing on Real America's Voice. We'll see you then. I got to get the dates right.